It's the Revved Up Sports Show with Rodney Rodriguez and Bobby Chaffee on the Horn, where Austin talks sports.
Revved Up ATX, back at it once again. Saturday morning lineup, we're doing it. Good stuff. A little bit of everything happening this morning. And now it's time for hashtag Real Race Talk as we get down to it. Isaiah Collier behind the glass, taking care of business once again. Bobby Chaffee across the way. And we're in August and racing is going. And but before we dive in, I've got to jump in, Bobby, because I am a lifetime San Antonio Spurs fan. And with everything that went on, you know, you got the NBA bubble and everything that we're dealing with. I mean, just really great playoff hockey. Baseball is back at it, and everything is feeling good. But you really know that you're in a messed up situation, a messed up year, when the San Antonio Spurs don't make the playoffs. It's sad. It's extremely sad. I'm crushed. Not surprised, though.
No, not surprised at all, but it is a very interesting scenario. Tim Duncan was still at Wake Forest the last time the Spurs missed the playoffs, right?
Yeah. And it with this, I mean, it's funny that all of this happens, because it dates back to 1997, back the last time that San Antonio, wasn't a part of the mix here. But you've got the asterisk season, which a lot of people still talk about, the 50-game season back in 1999 when you had the only 50 games, and San Antonio goes on to beat New York in the NBA Finals that year. But we're in another asterisk season. Because I think no matter how you spin this, I don't think it happens in racing, but you're going to have asterisks all along the sports calendar when you look at 2020, I think.
I think in some of the sports you will. I think, like you talked about the hockey game the other day with the five overtimes between the Columbus Blue Jackets and, I guess, who was they playing? Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
So there's going to be asterisks, but I think just the way that the whole format's, now that you're down to 16 teams in the NHL, I don't know if you're going to see a lot of asterisks on that. I think once you get through the NBA playoffs, you may not see that many asterisks on it. You probably will on baseball, the way that baseball keeps their stats and stuff up, being that it's only going to be a short season for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You won't see it in racing. Here's a question for you I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll probably get into it more when the playoffs starts. But is the ability for whoever ends up being the NASCAR champion, the Cup Series champion this year, is this the hardest championship to win with all the new tracks and the completely different formats and everything? You think this is the year that it truly is the most deserving driver is going to win it?
I really think it is, Bobby, because we've had to watch these teams adjust. And I think something that, I mean, we've talked about it on the show so many times, I mean, and on the podcast, where it's such a different dynamic this year because the lack of practice. There's no practice. There's no qualifying. All of that's out the window. And so many of these teams, I mean, a lot of times they win the race on Saturday, you know, because they're so prepared, or Friday, whenever it is. It's just a deluge of time on the track, and now they're having to readjust. And we're watching so many of these NASCAR teams struggling. I mean, Kyle Busch has one playoff point, and I think at this point last year he had, you know, 25, 6, 7, whatever it was. So I think that this will definitely be a year where someone steps up, and this will be definitely not an asterisk season. I mean, if anything, maybe a badass season. Badass wins a championship.
I think so. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting playoffs that we've got. Now, granted, the playoffs not really changed. This year they've changed with the better. It's like we talked about with this, you know, the revamp of the 2020 schedule got different cutoff races. So I think, all in all, I think this is the year that it's going to be. The playoffs are going to be off the chain this year.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact with what's going on in front of them to get to the playoffs. And then with all the shuffle of the playoff races, I think it's going to be fun to watch here in a couple of weeks.
It's just been so much, and it will continue. And, of course, we've got the Daytona weekend coming up on the road course. And coming up bottom of the hour, we will talk to Toby Christie, TobyChristie.com, one of our great insiders, a fellow Texan, that we'll get his thoughts, just everything that's happening. There's, you know, Bobby, it's so weird to me. There's so much money moving around right now. And at a time where we would think that the economy is struggling, or businesses are struggling, which they are. We know that they are. If we're crying out loud locally, I mean, we see it, you know, firsthand. But there are millions of dollars that are being cycled into racing. And while I love it, I'm so surprised to see this.
Well, I think it's because they were the first sport back. I mean, obviously they announced a deal yesterday with DoorDash and Bubba Wallace getting a 7-race sponsorship deal there.
Mm-hmm.
They just recently announced a couple of 7-race packages there for Alex Bowman over at Hendrick Motorsports in the 88 car. So there's a lot of money being transferred, and it's not your standard companies. It's all new people that are coming in. DoorDash has never been involved with NASCAR before. That's a brand new company that's coming in. So it's nice to see that kind of expansion. I don't see a whole lot of sponsors leaving, but then again, your full time sponsors. I think the closest one you have to a full time sponsor is the Ally with Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
The next closest one's probably Napa with Chase Elliott, but even they're not doing as many races as they were.
Right. And the DoorDash deal, I mean, you have to think where the marketing part of it is really, really on point, because I mean there's a lot of people that are using that service right now. So for them to jump on and they go to, like it or not, probably the most marketable driver right now, it's a really good move for them. But we'll talk NASCAR more a little bit later in the show. But I think, Bobby, we are into Indy, and it's so weird to be talking about Indy right now in August, where we're doing this thing. And the you know, it's the magical month of August is what we'll throw around, because there's so much happening. But these Indy cars are on the racetrack and they're getting after it. They got 33 cars on the track. I mean, it really, really fast. They were really, really fast on Thursday. But then you get Marco Andretti yesterday on Fast Friday, 233.491. That is really, really fast.
Those aero screens are definitely coming in handy here when they get to
unbelievable.
The brickyard. Yeah. Those cars look so good with the aero screen at the brickyard. For some reason, to me, the aero screen just looks better there than it does anywhere else.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where we're watching these teams where they come out. And the cars look good. I mean, and everybody thought when Dixon jumps in and nails down a 226 or whatever the speed was on Thursday, you're thinking, okay, but then they turn the wick up a little bit, and that's where these cars are different, where they give them a little bit more boost, and they come out. And I mean, Marco Andretti hadn't gone that fast ever, as far as I know.
No, Marco Andretti, he definitely made the mark to beat there on not qualifying, but the practice session leading up to qualifying. We'll get more into that at places for races. But definitely, yeah, the fact that those cars can probably, he's probably about as leaned out as he could be there.
Oh, yeah.
At 233. So that's one of those things. As you said, even the commercials, I think, have done a really good job over the NBC network that said it's the same feel, different time for the Indy 500. I think once we get to qualifying coming tomorrow, and they get everything kind of set, I still think they're going to end up doing the pageantry and everything else come the 23rd when they sit there in a couple of weeks and do the big dance, if you will.
Yeah, still the greatest spectacle in racing, and that's what we're getting there. I mean, it'd been since 1996, Ari Leyendijk, 239.260. So you get 233.491, still a little bit off the mark right there. But that's hauling the mail right there. And what people don't realize about Indianapolis, that's great. 233 lap, I mean, great. You're going really, really fast. But when they qualify for this race, it is a 4-lap average. You are running, what, two times four? You're running 8 miles. Is that right? I think that's right. You're running 4 laps, and you take that average, and that's what sets everything. And, oh, by the way, then coming up on Sunday, you're going to have to go in there. They take the fast nine, and really what you did doesn't matter. You get yourself into the fast nine. But I read something where Marco said, yeah, it's great. We're going really fast, but this is an endurance qualifying effort. This isn't all about one lap.
Actually, I did the math just now, and it's actually 10 miles. It's
10 miles. Two and a half. You're right.
Two and a half miles a lap.
Jeez.
So luckily, I was able to do the math real quick. Math's never been our – even despite the fact we look at numbers all the time with the race cars, math's not always our strong suit there, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Shows up right there at Indianapolis. And 233 miles an hour. And I mean, that place – I mean, when you think about back to 1909 and 1911, you know, when Ray Haroon wins that first race, obviously the track has evolved somewhat, but when it comes to the basic layout of the place, pretty much still the same. There's no banking there. I think that's why the stock cars look so odd on that track to me, Bobby, where it's like they go barreling into that corner and it's like 6-9 degrees, whatever it is, and there's nothing there.
It's very weird. You and I have both been on the track there, taking the track tour. There in the bus, and it's just so odd to see. It's shaped like a box. It really is the closest thing you get to a rectangle. I mean, it's a rectangle track. You've got almost 90-degree corners, and you got your little short shoots in between there. But, I mean, the Indy cars have always been designed to run at Indy.
Right.
That's why they're called Indy cars. That's the only thing that they're designed to run at is at Indy. They've just made adapted themselves to run everywhere else through the high downforce packages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Stock cars were designed to run it, especially this new generation car we've got. They're designed to run with the aero package. It's just been designed to run at your mile and a half track because that's the bread and butter of the stock car world right now. But those Indy cars, they manage to just stick to that track, and there is a magical, as you said, it's the greatest spectacle in racing, but there's something magical about when an Indy car gets on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The 233 is nice, but that 10 miles that they're going to have to qualify for is something that's just incredible. Like you said, it's an endurance qualifying effort, and it is. I don't think it's going to have the same effect that it used to now that they've gone to the Fast 9 and stuff like that. If there's only 33 cars, not going to be that big of a deal to come in and figure out who's going to be dead last this time.
Right. And it's so different with Indy when they hit the track here to qualify. Well, they're actually on the track now, as a matter of fact. But qualifying is all day. I mean, there's multiple times that you can go out on the track. I mean, it's not your typical race where you have your assigned qualifying time. You go out, you do whatever. I mean, you can continue to try to go out and better your time. But, I mean, you pretty much have what you have. And these Hondas, the Hondas are really, really good on Friday, and you have to think that they're going to be right there at the top of the heap. But, I mean, the Penske cars have been slower, not slower, but I say slower, 229, but Ganassi's there. I mean, you've got the usual players, and you still got, I mean, Helio Castroneves will be there, and there's an opportunity for another four-time winner. So lots of intriguing stories around this Indy 500, even though we're in a situation where no fans and all of that. It's still a really, really big deal.
No, I mean, it's still a really, really big deal. The difference, like we talked about a couple of shows ago, is that with the purse cut in half, you know, while it's not that good that the purse got cut in half, at the end of the day, if you win that race, you're going to pour yourself a big old glass of milk all over yourself, and you're going to put around that wreath around your neck, and you're going to be called an Indy 500 champion for the rest of your life.
Yep.
So they were definitely, it just because the purse got cut doesn't mean that it takes any difference away from any of the actual pomp and circumstance of winning the Indianapolis 500.
You still go on that BorgWarner trophy? And I did see somebody mention on Twitter, is this year's winner going to have a mask on, you know, on the BorgWarner trophy? I don't know about that. But one of the fascinating stories that we're going to follow along as we have been following, as we inch closer to race day for the Indianapolis 500, The story there, Fernando Alonso, I mean, the multi-time, you know, Formula One champion, this will be his third stab at it. He'll get in this year. Last year we had the last row.
Yeah, no kidding.
he'll get in this year, but he pastes it on the fence Thursday in turn four, right there at the end of that, and they get extended time to get him back out on the track. And I think this is a really good opportunity for Alonso where this team is better. I mean, this team is obviously better. He's teamed up with Pato O'Ward and Oliver Askew there. I think this is a time where we could see something pretty special from Alonso.
Well, I think now that he's got his Formula One stuff is set, where he's going to end up running for the factory Renault team, which is still kind of odd that he still ended up in the Indianapolis 500 with McLaren. I think he's more focused now, right? He doesn't have to worry about the poor effort that he had last year with just the comical aspect of trying to get into the Indy 500. And you knew about halfway through that qualifying lap, as you said, with four laps, you knew going in that he was out.
Yeah.
You knew about halfway through that qualifying session that he was going to be the odd man out and be 34th in time.
Yeah.
But I think this year, McLaren is in a good spot. They have shown speed all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And those rookies have done really well. But I think because of the fact that he has all the experience of doing the Indianapolis 500 a couple of different times now, I think we're going to end up seeing a different Fernando Alonso. He's going to go on that kill like he was the first time he did the Indianapolis 500 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to have a focus like he had back then because this is what he's got his mindset on. He doesn't have to worry about anything else, and he's set for next year with Formula One. So I think he's going to be on point this year.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of good Arrow Schmidt, you know, folks that are there. So I think it's a good scenario for him if he can keep it going straight. But That remains to be seen. This qualifying, as it continues to go on, is going to be a story throughout the day today as all of this works out. But one of the things to talk about, and I saw a great, I did see something else, Bobby. I saw, speaking of the deal with Renault coming up for 2021 in Formula One, I saw where the chief boss there from Renault said that he is not going to take a deep breath until after the Indy 500. When he's got Alonso running around out there, and he's already put it in the concrete once, he said, "I will not take a deep breath until this damn Indy 500 is over." I added the damn part.
Well, I mean, he's probably not far from it. I mean, the Indy 500, it's a dangerous place. Those wrecks are pretty intense. We thought the ones in the Cup race a couple of weeks ago were pretty intense. Mm-hmm. You smack the fence in the Indianapolis 500 with one of these Indy cars, these cars shatter apart. They're designed to break apart. So, I have a feeling I'd be holding my breath, too, if you had your bread and butter trying to compete in the world's biggest race.
Yeah, absolutely. Guy to talk about that was really, really good on Friday as well as Connor Daly. And he's in that Ed Carpenter fold there. And what a job Ed Carpenter has done. I mean, we've seen so many owner drivers that have tried to become owners, not just in IndyCar, but to try to make that jump over. We've seen it in NASCAR and IndyCar quite a bit, you know, back in the early 2000s. But Ed Carpenter jumps out of the driver's seat, and he's got a really, really – his team is always good. They're really good at Indianapolis. You got Connor Daly that he runs yesterday, 2:32.337, and that's really damn fast. He's got Cole Pearn there, and you got to give a shout-out to Ed Carpenter Racing. Those guys are really good, but I think that's a team where moving forward, depending with this schedule, the way it's changed, and so much time that's been lost, the future of them, what happens – it makes this Indy 500 even bigger.
Well, I think it does, too. It also helps a lot when your father-in-law is Tony George.
Absolutely.
That helps out a lot, especially when the team first started. But I think the realization for Ed Carpenter was, like you said, when he stepped out of that driver's seat and only decided to run the ovals, mm-hmm. he realized that his forte was not the road racing. He wasn't as good at it as some of the guys he's put in there. And he's had really good results with the people that he's put in that car. And I think it's going to be a feel-good story if Connor Daly can run and have a really good chance at running. Connor Daly doesn't have to win the Indy 500 to have a winning moment in the Indy 500. A top five in that Ed Carpenter equipment being the third car out there, I think that definitely would go a long way towards having Connor Daly thinking that he's got a win in the pocket.
And speaking of a win in the pocket, did you see J.R. Hildebrand is a part of probably the most heartbreaking ever. You come out of turn four and you see it. I mean, you've dreamed of it. You've lived it. I mean, you remember that? I mean, that was one where my heart hurt for him when J.R. Hildebrand lost that race.
Yeah, and I think of the live shot was the in-car camera where it's, see the checkered flag starting to wave, and he comes out of turn number four, and he's there, and he's going to pop the fence, and it was done.
Yeah. So Indy 500, and of course, next week, I mean, probably most of this show will be dedicated to the Indy 500 as we get set for the greatest spectacle in racing. Quickly, Bobby, before the break, Lewis Hamilton does not win. He does not win at Silverstone last time around. Last week, you get Max Verstappen there with the Red Bulls. You think Red Bull actually has something for Mercedes, or is this just something where he caught lightning in a bottle and wins by 11 seconds?
I think it's more the lightning in the bottle. I think that Red Bull's been the closest one that actually has a chance to do anything to go head-to-head with Mercedes. So it definitely is one of those where, you know, Max has shown speed mm-hmm. enough all year to be competitive, and that's where they are. They're definitely – the Red Bulls are definitely the second fastest if you talk about the different teams that are out there right now. They're just a step ahead of Ferrari, in my opinion, but – If you think about where Mercedes is at, they're just lights out. It's Formula One, it's Mercedes, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday, second practice is Hamilton, Bottas right there at the top, Verstappen, Ricciardo, round out your top four, and then you had Roman Grosjean, good run there for Haas. So good run for Haas. New chassis for Sebastian Vettel. We've been talking a lot of stuff here about Vettel the last couple of weeks. You think this is anything, or are they just giving him, like, here you go, man, here's your last shot? Or is this something that maybe helps him this weekend in Barcelona?
Well, the Ferraris have a tendency to really enjoy running in Barcelona. There's a lot of Ferrari fans down in that section of the world. But I'll be interested to see if it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that just the new car, I mean, it may be a flash in the pan and he may run good in the first couple of practices and then he may end up falling off the map come the race time. So I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. The brand new car, if it was that great, they probably could have moved it up a little bit sooner. So yeah, we'll see exactly how what it has to do with Vettel, but I'm not sure it's going to change a whole lot.
Practice 2 yesterday didn't give the best results, but Vettel did say that they seem to be going in a better direction as compared to what he said last week, that they had no direction. So we'll follow that, and we'll break that down once that race is done. That'll be next week. But again, big Indy 500 show coming up next week, as we got to get all of that together and get you ready for the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. After the break, we'll talk to Toby Christie. It is Toby Christie. Christie.com, our NASCAR insider, all the stuff that's going on around the world of NASCAR as they head to Daytona for the Daytona Road Course Race. That's coming up. This is Horn. This is 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on that Horn app and always live at hornfm.com. Saturday morning, this is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Glad you were checking in. Follow the station at the Horn ATX. Our show on Instagram and Twitter at Revved Up ATX. We'd love to have you there. Just great information that we're pumping out all of the time. And talking about that Indy stuff that we were talking about in the first segment, as we are into Indy Week, or Indy Week that will start on Monday with the race coming up next Sunday. We looking to do some special stuff over on Facebook, or possibly get some classic Indianapolis moments up there for you from YouTube. I mean, you can find them yourself, but maybe some of our favorites we're going to pop up there on the Facebook page, facebook.com, and just search Revved Up Sports Show. That is all the socials for Revved Up ATX and the Revved Up Sports Show. It is a busy weekend at Daytona, and we're doing things just a little bit different at Daytona this time around. And we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We've been talking about a busy weekend in motorsports, busy month. It seems to be the magical month of August now is what we're into. On the hotline, it is our favorite NASCAR insider. It's Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com. Toby, how are you, man?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good. We're doing good, man. Surviving the heat. Surviving the heat. So that's a yeah. Name of the game. Toby, is it me, or let me ask you, I mean, we haven't talked to you in a few months. How's COVID been for you, man? You surviving? Everybody good on your end?
Yeah, we've all been doing pretty good. The little kiddo is doing well. He's got cystic fibrosis, so we kind of take it a little even more seriously than most people probably do.
Yeah.
So with all that going on, we just try to stay at the house, and everybody's been doing great, and we've been doing all the protocols that we've heard that are in place, and trying to play by the rules.
Yeah, that's it. That's a tall order to get people to do that sometimes. But so is it just me, or, I mean, silly season is, you know, they call it silly season for a reason. But with everything that's gone on, has this silly season been just a little bit sillier, it seems like?
Yeah, and it's not going to stop yet. There's going to be a lot more that happens going forward from what I'm hearing. So the silly wackiness has just begun. It's going to get even wilder and even crazier as we get closer to 2021.
Yeah, I totally agree. Are you surprised since NASCAR, you know, the first major series league, whatever you want to call it, to make a comeback here through this pandemic? Are you surprised at the success? Obviously, there's been some hurdles and so forth, but man, they've pretty much hit a home run with how they've done this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it. It's a double-edged sword. So you can say, yeah, they've had success. There haven't been many people that have kind of dropped out. Jimmy Johnson missed a race. We had a Truck Series competitor this past weekend. Spencer Davis missed the race. But overall, we've had very little people affected by it in the sport that we at least know of. The other side of that is we're not actively testing people. we're just taking temperatures, and we're not requiring testing. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But as far as the functionality of the sport, it does keep things from the stoppage and starting, which a lot of these other sports and other things have been kind of having going on when people have huge waves of COVID that break out. So from that aspect, it's great. From the other aspect, you just hope everybody's staying safe and doing the smart thing.
That's right. That's all that we can ask. One of the most mentioned names, whether it be positive or negative, and I just don't understand the outcry against this young kid, is Bubba Wallace. You know, there was the flag situation and Black Lives Matter. I mean, all of that. I mean, that's part of society right now. But this dude here, he is just raking in sponsorship. Couple of big sponsorship announcements for him this past week.
Yeah. He's been the hot topic around the sport all season long for these offense have happened as well. And I think a lot of the hate he's getting is just so much of the misinformation that's out there. If you've spent any time on the internet when anything happens, like the news thing that took place and everything else, a lot of these political garbage websites that are just there for people to click and get ad money are turning things and twisting things in ways that it's not what really happened. Trying to say that he was behind the hoax of the noose. He wasn't even in the garage area. He never saw the thing. So it's ridiculous that people try to portray that he was behind all that happening and that even NASCAR or anybody else had anything to do with that. But since then, all the publicity that got for him has now led to sponsors are coming out left and right and wanting to attract themselves to this guy who's been honestly overperforming. He's been punching way over his weight there at Richard Petty Motorsports this season.
Mm-hmm.
Four top 10 finishes. They're sitting 20th in points. That's 8 spots higher than they've been in each of the last 2 seasons. So they're having a heck of a year, and they're going to be rewarded with some sponsorship here down the stretch. And he's got some interesting decisions to make as we go towards next season on what he wants to do.
Yeah, he really does. And the bad part about that, Toby, is I think I see, we're pretty deeply rooted with short track racing. And I see a lot of fans, and it frustrates me a lot, honestly, where a lot of detractors of Bubba Wallace now are folks that you know, applauded him as a great short track racer, you know, not too long ago. So it's a tough situation. But I guess if people are talking about you, you're doing something.
Oh, certainly. I mean, you'd rather have them talk about you than not talk about you. But, again, a lot of the misinformation out there. And how many people just pass it around? I've seen it on Facebook all the time. It's like, why are you sharing this? This is not accurate at all.
Yeah.
And they still share it around. It's really disheartening. But, hey, you know, it led to some great opportunities for him in the long run here. And hopefully he can parlay it into staying in the sport for a long time. Having a very successful Cup Series career.
Totally agree. Much needed in the sport. Sticking with Bubba, I mean, we obviously there with RPM, you hit the nail on the head, Toby. He has overachieved with that group. I mean, a little underfunded there, but those dollars are coming in. And it does make it interesting for him. We heard the talk maybe of Ganassi over the 42 with the McDonald's tie in there. Anything that you're reading or feeling into that as to what Bubba Wallace may do?
I mean, I've heard he's had lots of options. There's even an option that people haven't really been saying out there that I've heard rumored behind the scenes that was a possibility, not really in his final two now. So now it looks like it's down to the Ganassi ride and the RPM ride from what I'm hearing. The things we've been seeing play out in the public and what we're hearing behind the scenes, it seems like it's going to be overwhelmingly difficult for him to walk away from RPM with what's about to be offered.
Wow.
There's some pretty big stuff in the works. If the things I've heard end up being ultimately true, he would be wild and crazy to walk away from it. So,
wow.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Chip Ganassi Racing is a great organization as well. The 42 car, as they've shown when Kyle Larson was in it the last few years, is a championship caliber, playoff caliber car, which is something he's never had in his career. So that's hard to turn that down when you know what that is. But when you look at a lot of the things that are going on behind the scenes, you kind of wonder what RPM could be. So it's a tough decision. But, again, I think it's a good decision for him he's got all these different options in play. And this is a in his career for sure to this point.
And you know, I'm an old-school race fan, so seeing a very competitive Petty Blue 43 or some version of the 43, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. I like to see that car running competitive. I think that's a very good thing. Toby, let me ask you about, so through all of this, there's been so, the news cycle has been amazing through all of this mess, but the superstar racing experience that comes about with Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham, your thoughts on that? I mean, they're adding drivers. I saw, you know, our own Texan Bobby Labonte is going to be a part of it. Any ideas on how that may all play out? I mean, I know they're talking about short tracks and so forth, but I guess all of that's still in the beginning stages if they're talking summer 2021.
Yeah, so we still don't know a whole lot of the details about it, but they're putting together a pretty star-studded cast of drivers. I think I even saw Jeremy Mayfield reach out to Evernham on Twitter, so
wow.
They can swing that. That would be interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting names. It's going to be a pretty good show, obviously. If they stick to short tracks, that takes a lot of the aero dependency away.
Mm-hmm.
especially with the wild wing that they've got in those things. It's not going to have a huge air pocket that's being punched in the hole in the air there. So that's going to lend itself to hopefully some passing. And I think it's going to be a fun series. I look forward to seeing what they've got to offer. And that is something that's totally surprised us. We weren't expecting that. I don't think that was on anybody's radar when that dropped. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah, very good stuff. Toby Christie with us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, revved up ATX here on your Saturday on the Horn. Toby, let me ask you. So we're at Daytona. We're doing road course stuff that we haven't done. And again, this is just one of the changes that we've watched throughout all of this. Talk about that number 68 team on the truck side. It's been a while since you start throwing around chassis certification issues. That sounds pretty damn severe.
Yeah, so what NASCAR does is they require the teams to get their chassis certified before each race weekend, before the entry list post-entry goes out. And the reason for that is just to make sure that, for one, it's a certified chassis, so it's safe. And for two, teams aren't just swapping chassis between each other to kind of circumvent the rules. Like, with right now, we've had a lot of truck series deals that have been forced. I know this week has not been. But if you have more than 40 entries, somebody has to go home, and with no qualifying or something like that, it falls back on owner points. So if you're not in the owner points, you can just transfer your truck to another team and use that to get in. And so to circumvent that, NASCAR has the certification rules that they have. So that's what's going on. It appears that it was a Jordan Anderson Racing truck as he was helping with the motor and fuel cell, and they just didn't get the certification dropped off to NASCAR in time to get it approved for the race.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. That sounds like just somebody dropped the ball. That's pretty much it.
Well, and what's funny is on a week like this where there wasn't more than 40 entries, they would have been fine just fielding it as a Jordan Anderson Racing team, but they didn't, and so that's where the snag was.
Yeah, that's too bad. That is too bad. So we also hear, you know, we're losing one of our favorite owners, you know, Bob Levine, and we keep seeing, it's very odd to me that all of this money is being pumped into the sport right now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, all the sponsors coming aboard. I mean, Hendrick is adding sponsorship, and all of this is happening, and you lose Bob Levine, and it comes back to, like with Barney Visser, you know, the millionaires can't afford to do this anymore. Your thoughts on that, man? This is such a great sport, but boy, you better have some heavy, heavy, deep pockets.
Yeah, especially with the way things are right now. So with what's going on, you've got all this inventory of cars right now, and they're all going to be scrapped by the end of next season when we go to the next-gen cars. So that's a big thing right now, especially for guys like Bob Levine. If they don't have things pretty well shored up, he's been hit pretty hard with the COVID pandemic with his actual own business ventures. Then that puts you in a really precarious spot when you've got to totally overhaul your entire fleet of cars and go with a whole new set of everything in a year. So that's a sticky situation. Plus, he's got the alliance that he was paying for with Joe Gibbs Racing in TRD, which is not cheap by any means.
Right.
And he's now experienced how good his team can be with that. He doesn't want to go without that at this point. So it's either I'm going to have the alliance and have all my cars, or if I can't do that, I'm not going to be here. And you have to respect him on that because he doesn't want to field just a team that's out there putting around. but at the same time, it is sad to see Bob go. He's one of the more honest car owners you'll ever see. He'll tell you anything he thinks about any topic.
Yep.
He's not afraid to talk to you for 15, 20 minutes out in the garage, just shoot the breeze with you. So from that aspect, it's going to be sad to see him go. Just the cool operation he built in the time he was here, it's sad to see all that work go by the wayside due to the pandemic.
Absolutely. And with that, with that TRD alliance there with Gibbs and so forth, we saw it with Furniture Row. And I mean, it is what it is, what you see on social media and kind of read on Twitter and different stuff. But I mean, it is where we go for our news, it seems like. But is there maybe you hear, you know, hostile situations or whatever with Gibbs and all of that as these teams fall off and they're the only Toyota team? I mean, is there something to that, maybe, that Gibbs, it's a rough situation being aligned with them?
Well, you got to look at it two ways. If you want to compete and be the best in the sport, you either have to have the best people, like Gibbs has most of the best people, or you have to buy your resources through the people that have the best people. And if you're going to be buying it secondhand from them, are making it with the best resources, you're going to pay a premium price because they've got to make money on what they're producing for you as well. So it's always cheaper to do it in-house if you can, but if you don't feel confident in the people you have available to produce the same thing that Gibbs is doing, you've got to farm it out to Gibbs, and at that point you're going to be paying more than what Gibbs is paying to make it in-house as well. That's just the cost of doing business. So from that aspect, I understand why it's costly for the teams and why it's more costly than if they were to do it themselves. But on the other side, I see why Gibbs has to do that as well. So, you know, it's a weird situation. But at some point, I think the manufacturer has to step in and possibly cover some of those costs for these teams that are doing the alliances. Because at some point, Toyota's going to look at things and go, man, we got to have more than four cars out here that are competitive.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to have all your guys being in an alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, because that's your only big team.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to make that happen is to make it financially feasible for the team owners to do that. So something's got to give there. I can't blame Gibbs because they have to make money on what they're doing, although they're taking it in the shorts on social media every time one of these teams drops off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they can't lose money doing it either. So I think the manufacturer has to be the one that steps in and give some incentive for teams to do the alliance.
Yeah, very good point. Great point, as a matter of fact. Gibbs, speaking of Gibbs, Kyle Busch has had his struggles this year, and we can attribute that, this no testing, this no practice. I'm a fan of it. I mean, I do like that. I think it trims the field up just a little bit for a shorter part of the race. Obviously, when you're as good as these teams are, they get better. They adjust. Your thoughts on that? I kind of like this environment that we're seeing right now.
Anytime you go into a race or any sporting event or any kind of entertainment event and you don't know what you're going to see, that lends itself to a better show. When you go into it knowing, okay, Kyle Busch is going to win this race, that's not very exciting. When you go into it going, yeah, I know this guy's going to pretty much finish fifth, that's what he does every week, that's not very exciting. So I agree. I like what we're seeing. The no practice, no qualifying has made things it's thrown a wrench in things. We've gotten some guys fired even.
Right.
We've seen Chad Johnson's no longer with the 42 team as the crew chief, and he kind of parlayed that as part of this. He hasn't had any practice qualifying. And that's a weird monkey wrench for a guy who's used to being able to tune on his car all week. So this has been interesting for some guys. I'm sure the crew chiefs hate it, but from the side of the media and the fans that are watching it, it lends itself to a much more unpredictable show. And even though we've had Harvick and Hamlin kind of running away with things with five and six wins each, the path at which they got to those points wasn't an easy one by any means. They had to kind of work their way through the field more than they usually would with the randomized qualifying and everything like that. Now things are going to change a little bit now that they've rechanged the system, and now they're running 1-2 to start the race. But
yeah.
But we'll kind of see how that goes as we go forward. But to this point, I think it's been a fun change, and I think it's fair. You know, nobody has practice qualifying. It's fair. If somebody gets practice qualifying, everybody else doesn't, that's when it's not fair. So they're all playing by the same rules. It's just some people are capitalizing on it, and some of them aren't.
Yeah, and I love how you mentioned they're starting 1-2. Now we've got the new algebra formula here to figure out how we're going to start these races. And I'm like, man, look, let's go back to the draw, man. let's keep this simple.
I'm all for it. And in fact, I hated the whole, like, sectioning it off by points and all this stuff. Just put every name in the hat, pull it out. Everybody has a shot at first. Everybody has a shot at 40th. And let's roll.
Yeah.
You know, let's just do that.
Yeah, the good old pill draw like you do at the short tracks. Let's just do it that way.
Everybody has an equal shot.
That's it.
But, yeah. It's funny, I've got a guy on staff, Joseph Srigley, who keeps up with this. He gets this formula figured out within 5 seconds of things being done. It's like, all right, dude, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it, but okay.
Yeah, I'll just wait for the grid, and we'll report it at that point. That's kind of my thought with all of that. So we're watching Jimmy Johnson come out. You know, with we're starting to see the pink scheme. And really reflecting back on the career, and I think honestly Jimmy Johnson's got his mind on IndyCars at this point. But are we watching when Jimmy Johnson leaves there? Are we about to see a pretty big change in Hendrick Motorsports when you lose the legend like that? I mean, they're talking about maybe trimming three cars. You hear that stuff, but sponsors are coming along, so that may throw a monkey wrench into that whole concept.
Yeah, so that's interesting too. But it does change the landscape of Hendrick Motorsports. Typically, over the years, you've had at least two veteran guys on the team that are up there in their mid-30s to possibly 40, but we don't have that right now.
No.
Jimmy Johnson's the only guy up in that age range right now on the team. He's going to be gone, and I would expect it to be a younger guy that takes his spot as well. And if that's the case, then you've got an entire team of young guys, and they're all kind of learning on the fly. I know Chase Elliott's got some pretty good experience at this point, but William Byron still hasn't won a race. Alex Bowman's won two races, but he's super inconsistent. He'll be great one week, and then he'll disappear for a whole month.
Right.
So there's a lot that still needs to be shored up consistency-wise with the team. They were very fast pre-COVID. They were pretty fast right after COVID, but the Chevys have seemed to they've lost a little bit of something along the way, and it looks like they're scrambling to try to regain it.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be interesting to watch here these next few months as we work our way to the playoffs. Lastly, Toby, big race tomorrow. I mean, we're on that road course, and of course, this one jumps in. This is a fill-in race, whatever you want to call it, but a nice new concept. They're adding, you know, chicane added there out of turn four. So what do we see tomorrow? You know, Harvick's leading them down into turn one, and like he said, you know, I don't know what to expect. So your thoughts on what we see Sunday in the Cup race?
Well, I think we're going to see wild, unpredictable action because even with the chicanes that they've got on the track, they don't have the typical curbs that you're used to where drivers can kind of use those to cheat through the turns and get their cars to turn better. They've got these huge sausage-looking turtle bumps,
yeah.
And if you hit one of those things, you're done for. So,
yeah.
And when you're done for, you're going to shoot across the track, and you're probably going to take everybody with you. So we're going to see some pretty wild action. I think this race lends itself to somebody – like Martin Truex Jr., who's extremely smooth and consistent on road courses. Even Chase Elliott has been pretty good at road courses. I think he's got, what, 3 wins
yep.
and 10 starts on the road courses in his career. So
mm-hmm.
Those are guys I would kind of look for to be the winners. But as far as everything behind them, who the heck knows? It's going to be crazy. And like you said, we've got Harvick and Hamlin up front, but they're not typically road aces. So that could be pretty interesting going into that first turn, which is a super sharp left-hand turn there off the banking. So that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be so cool to see him on that Daytona road course. Toby, great stuff as always. TobyChristie.com. Hey, you guys, you got the final lap also, don't you? Podcast. I mean, you guys get after it. This is nonstop for you right about now, probably.
Hey, man, we try. We do the best we can, and it's awesome when people notice it, and it's even awesome when they call us out when we're wrong, so that's fine, too.
Yeah, you know, that's part of it. That's one of the things I'm finding out with, especially with NASCAR these days, you got to be pretty thick-skinned, because if you have an opinion, you better be ready, because somebody's probably going to get pissed off.
Oh, yeah, the NASCAR fans, they don't hold back, and that's the thing you got to love about them the most, is that they're so passionate, and people are talking about how NASCAR is dying, this, that, and the other. You go on social media and you put something down and you see what the NASCAR fans respond to you with, you'll realize the NASCAR ain't dying anytime soon.
No, it's. I always joke around, Toby, our biggest NASCAR fans are the people that don't watch it.
Right?
Absolutely. Good stuff.
So true.
Toby, we appreciate the time, man. Great information. I mean, congratulations, man. It's so cool to watch TobyChristie.com. You guys, man, you're a leader in this stuff.
We appreciate it. Yeah, we've had tremendous growth in just a little over a year and a half here that we've been going. So looking to keep growing, looking to keep building.
Absolutely. Look forward to having you back on soon, man.
Definitely. Anytime you guys want, let me know.
All right. Sounds good. The man right there, Toby Christie, talking all good NASCAR stuff. TobyChristie.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well at Toby_Christie. Really good stuff. Coming up on the other side, Pit Stop News and Notes, Places for Races, as we roll on your Saturday. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Great conversation throughout this program as we're getting you Indy ready. We're getting you Daytona ready. Thanks to Toby Christie for being a part of the program. TobyChristie.com, just great stuff right there. These racing insiders, Bobby, it's so funny. It's so funny how they know this stuff, man. And there's stuff they won't tell us. You try to poke and prod, and they won't tell you things.
A lot of the inside information is that he hints at it. And him and Adam Stern are great, too. Adam Stern's
really
been
are.
On this program again. He'd be fun to have back on the program again. But those guys, you know, the trust of the media is something that's not existing a whole lot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely with guys like Toby and Adam Stern, Toby gets a lot of good inside information. He's usually not pretty wrong either.
Yeah. Toby's done it the way we have. He just bothers people, and he's been doing it for a long time, and he is the greatest
He's the greatest 10-year overnight story that, I mean, just like this program. Folks are like, oh, great new program. We've actually been doing this for a long time. A long time. Longer than we care to talk about.
Yeah, we've been doing it a long time. It's kind of like when you go to pick up the microphone, like, how long have I been doing it? I've been doing this way too long, like at the racetrack.
Oh, my goodness. Good stuff.
I hope it's like a bike, right? Hopefully I'm not going to forget how to do it today.
Oh, yeah, man. Just get after it, man. Just get after it and give it hell. Quickly, let's go to our pit stop news and notes along with places for races coming up here in just a minute. But really sad to see. I mean, I always hate reporting about bad things, but Bobby, last race coming up tonight, Myrtle Beach Speedway. That's one of those tracks where it's been around forever since the mid-50s, and last race coming up, it's about to become a business complex and townhome project, for crying out loud.
Well, it's one of those things where a long time ago, the racetrack was not close to the city, but as the city has gone to expand, the city has definitely come to Myrtle Beach Speedway. Yeah. It is going to be sad to see. That track's hosted a lot of different stuff, mainly known for its Xfinity Series races back in the day. Mm-hmm. Have that place packed. Dell Jr.'s actually run on that racetrack before as he started his late model career. So sad deal seeing Myrtle Beach. The tracks are not popping up as much as they're getting devoured by new commercial development.
That's it. That land becomes very valuable. But I would like to tell any potential investor looking to buy a racetrack, always remember that that land could be it could have some fluids in it. It might have a little oil or fuel or something in it, so maybe don't go by the racetracks. Just kind of leave them for us to race at. Other thing that I had in pit stop news and notes, other than what we've talked about throughout the program here on the Horn, Canadian the Nationals at in Canada going by the wayside as well. The biggest paying North American short track race set for September 3rd through the 5th over in Canada. That one obviously being postponed, and that's a rough loss right there.
That's a rough loss for super late model racing for sure. That one, just with the border restrictions and stuff like that, they had no choice but to cancel that race. As we said, 2021 has not been the best of seasons. I think that that's another reason to applaud NASCAR for making the best out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. They have pretty much for all of 2020. The other sports leagues are catching up. I think the NHL is a really strong second to NASCAR for the way that they've been able to structure their playoffs as they get ready to go for Lord Stanley's Cup.
That's right. That is exactly right. And something that I wanted to mention there at the top of the program, UIL stuff, I mean, we're still set for high school football, and of course we'll video. Video is allowed. It's been a UIL rule, Friday night broadcast, not allowed to have the live video unless you get in a playoff situation, so forth and so on. But with everything that's going on, UIL saying that video is good, and of course right here, along the Horn Webcast Network, you can go to hornfm.com and IHS Fan. We'll have tons of videos. Seven of those nine teams that are a part of that will be doing live video. So that's going to be really, really cool. Places for races, Mr. Chaffee. And I know that you got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot this week. Once again, local stuff not as predominant as it has been a couple of weeks ago. Closest thing to us would be the two dirt tracks. I-37 down in Pleasanton working on a late start tonight, too, due to the heat. Our buddies over at Edna, Owen Pittman and the gang, they got a big race happening tonight. And then, of course, I'll be hanging out a little bit later, going to be heading out towards Houston Motorsports Park. NASCAR Houston going to pick up the mic. I know you got some pre-existing plans that you had for the reschedule.
Pre-existing conditions, for crying out loud.
Pre-existing conditions. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But that's pretty much for the local stuff that we got. As far as the places for racing, you mentioned the Indianapolis 500 qualifying. Strange place on the NBC Sports Gold app for a majority of the qualifying, but I guess that's one way to get subscribers to subscribe to that network. Coming up later today is the Xfinity Series race at Daytona on the road course. Once again, no practice, none of that. That's at 2 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. Tomorrow's actually got a pretty good racing slate as well. It kicks off at on ESPN at 8:05 with the F1 Spanish Grand Prix there from just outside of Barcelona. Also, if you can't get up early enough for that, the replay for that race is going to be at 12:30 on ESPN2. The trucks get an early morning breakfast. They start their race on the Daytona Road Course 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And that's race going to be on FS1. Interesting tie into some motocross stuff. Motocross, the outdoor series, is running at Loretta Lynn's.
Loretta Lynn.
That's right.
Love that.
Moto number two, 11 a.m. start locally here on KXAN on the big network.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have the following that, we'll have the Fast 9 there with Indianapolis qualifying there. So it starts at 12 p.m. on KXAN. And you might as well just keep the throw the remote away because the Cup Series race from the Daytona Road Course will also be on KXAN. That's at 2 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon. So a good slate of diverse motorsports action there locally on NBC tomorrow.
And this could be even better, Bobby, because we've watched throughout the weekend. We saw it Friday. What if this Daytona race on Sunday, the Cup race, what if it becomes a rain race? I mean, that's a whole different thing right there, man. With all the problems we've had with weather after COVID, it's only fitting to go to Daytona to the road course and have a rain race. That would be awesome.
I mean, that's going to be awesome from a fan perspective. As a competitor, man, I would not want to be totally involved with that with no practice or anything.
Yeah.
But who knew, right? It's going to be August in the state of Florida, and there's a chance for rain every day that they've been on the racetrack.
Yeah.
We saw how the rain affected the ARCA race on Friday night, so yeah. I thought they were going to tear some stuff up then. But, I'm excited about the Daytona Road Course. I really wish they would have given these guys at least one practice to shake down the cars.
Yeah.
But as somebody that watches the 24 Hours of Daytona, the fact that the stock cars are now running on that could become an annual race here before too long, running on the Daytona Road Course.
It could. They got that extra chicane out there, so good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Looking forward to that one. If it does start to rain, that will enhance that experience. That will definitely enhance that experience. Hey, Bobby, also Knoxville, the World of Outlaws, they've been Thursday up until today. DirtVision.com. Check out the Kyle Larson show. I mean, the World of Outlaws. That's good stuff, too.
Yeah, Kyle Larson putting a hurting on him, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. Taking Care of Business. Great program. Thanks to Toby Christie for jumping on. Bobby, this is awesome, man. We are back next week. Indy 500 preview show. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn.